Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning comes from Matthew chapter 13. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field, a merchant in search of fine pearls, a net thrown into the sea. The season of Pentecost is also called the time of the church. During this season, the appointed readings focus on how we live out our faith as God's people. In the past weeks, you have heard lessons from the Gospel of Matthew and the parables of Jesus. These parables describe the reign of the kingdom of God. There was the parable of the sower, the parable of the weeds among the wheat, and now today, three short parables which describe the kingdom of God. There is indeed treasure in the field which that man finds. There the merchant is looking for fine pearls. And finally, there is the parable of the net cast into the sea, gathering fish of every kind. So what do these parables teach us about the kingdom of God? And what do these parables teach us about our lives in the kingdom of God? But first, I think we need to look at why Jesus told these parables to his own disciples. You see, these disciples were struggling. All that Jesus taught them was completely new to them. He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God, but he also warned them that they would be going out as sheep among the wolves. They would be persecuted. And yet he tells them, do not be afraid. Now, regard to persecution, these were not empty words, because John the Baptist had already been in prison, though at this point he hadn't been beheaded. And Jesus himself taught his disciples about the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And of course, these words pointed to Jesus' own destiny in Jerusalem and the cross. And with all this going on, these disciples were confused and lacked real understanding. And this led to their questions about the reign of God and whether following Jesus is a good and right thing to do. When you think about it, we can surely understand these disciples and their predicament. And then if we even look a little closer, we would find this confusion and lack of understanding describes each one of us as well. The way our lives go, the way the world revolves around us, it's very hard for us to see the kingdom of God and God's reign on this earth. Many people around us live lives that are totally opposite of what Jesus teaches. And all that has an effect on each one of us. It is very difficult for us to see the reign of God in this world. And as a result, we easily lose focus and have a hard time following Jesus. And maybe even question whether we should follow him at all. Now our Lord, in all his wisdom, understands what his disciples are going through, and in all his wisdom, he knows that we also have a very difficult time understanding. And so he tells parables. And he tells us these parables to assure us, as he tried to assure those disciples, about our faith, and tries to assure us about our life under the cross of Christ. First of all, we have to acknowledge the fact that the kingdom of God and its reign on earth is a mystery of God. It is hidden from the world because it is based on the love of God in Christ Jesus. While the world is fixated on living under the law, now we could look at law as God's law or just man's law, whatever. That's the way the world lives. But the kingdom of God is different. We heard that difference in the Old Testament reading from Deuteronomy as God told the children of Israel as they were about to enter Canaan. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the people who are on the face of the earth. As God chose the people of Israel, so has God chosen you. He has chosen you as his treasured possession. So the mystery of the kingdom revealed in that first parable, the parable of the buried treasure, is that you are the treasure. You are God's treasure. You are his possession by virtue of his suffering and dying on the cross. You are his. And so you are that hidden treasure in the sense that God has paid for your sins and given you this new life. Now, I guess we would have a hard time visualizing the fact that we are a treasure. Sometimes we don't feel like a treasure. And maybe people around us would not see us as a treasure. Sometimes we just don't act like a treasure of God. We have flaws and imperfections, and I guess those are nice words, nice sounding words to describe sin and its effects on our lives. We have been beaten up and left on the side of the road. Not unlike the man in the parable of the Good Samaritan. But then Jesus Christ picks us up, washes us off, and makes us his treasured possession. Bo Geertz, in his book, The Hammer of God, wrote of this in this way. One does not choose a redeemer for oneself, you understand, nor give one's heart to him. The heart is a rusty old can on a junk heap, a fine birthday gift indeed. But a wonderful Lord passes by and has mercy on the wretched, tin can, sticks his walking cane through it, and rescues it from the junk pile and takes it home. That is how it is. In the water of baptism, Christ has found you and made you his treasured possession. And Christ, in the parable of the pearls, is that merchant who did everything to obtain the treasure, that fine pearl. And you can imagine what that everything would include. His incarnation, his passion, his resurrection and ascension. And these fine pearls obtained by Christ is the gathering of the treasured possession, like the nation of Israel, a people for God's own possession. Today we would call this gathering of God's people the church. And Christ has acquired his church, purchased and won through his very suffering and death, through his very blood shed on the cross. The cost was impossible for ordinary mankind, but possible for Christ, true God and true man. Such is the mystery of the kingdom. In the eyes of this world, the kingdom doesn't make much sense. Treasure found in the ordinary. But this is God's way. He takes the ordinary things of life and makes them extraordinary. Bread and wine, simple water, the words spoken by the pastor, those are the treasures that he has given to his church. These are the mysteries of God. And God gives these gifts to his church, his most treasured possession, to strengthen faith in the face of all the struggles that we go through, all the opposition that sin makes in our lives, and in the face of the power of Satan in this world. These gifts are given to assure your faith and your life as you follow Christ. In the parable of the parable of the pearls, the merchant searches. He searches for those pearls. And again, this is an image of God, the searching God. We go all the way back to the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve fell from grace, but God searched them out, and he finds them. We have that image in the Old Testament and New Testament as God as the Good Shepherd, and the Good Shepherd who searches out the lost. And then we have the parable of the prodigal son. When the son returns, the waiting father celebrates by throwing a great party and by clothing the son with those fine robes and jewelry. He was very extravagant. And we see that extravagance in that merchant. He sold everything to obtain this pearl. And again, that really points to God the Father giving his only begotten Son to gain eternal life for us, his own possession. So when you think about it, that makes us all very special. like a precious pearl. The kingdom of heaven is also like a net that is thrown into the sea and gathers fish of every kind. Here Jesus introduces a new setting, fishing, to help us understand the reign of God and his kingdom. And Jesus goes on to explain it in greater depth. At the close of the age, there will be sorting believers and unbelievers. We need to hear these words as words of assurance. At the last day, he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead. This is a vision of glory. And you can look forward to this day with joy and assurance. At the end of time, you have this glorious vision awaiting you when the harvest is drawn into the net. As those fish are drawn into the net, so is the kingdom of saints gathered into the kingdom of God to experience God's reign in all its fullness. As you wait for that day, rejoice in the fact that you have been caught by the word of God. Through the saving power of that word, you are part of that kingdom. And that word continues to keep you in that kingdom. There's another important element here regarding this parable in God's reign in this world. We are reminded that the net gathers in fish of every kind. Indeed, the net of God's word is intended for all people, people of every nation and language. That is the mission of his church, to bring the reign of God to bear on the lives of people everywhere and to bring them to faith, to bring them into the realm of being a treasured possession of God. And remember, that's what you are, his treasured possession. May you daily live in that knowledge and walk in the assurance of his grace and mercy. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.